So in the same way, when you have an intention, the intention, let's say, of gratitude or the intention of friendship or any other intention that you may come up with that resonates with you would be the musical key.
Welcome to Super Normalize, the podcast where we challenge the conventional, break boundaries, and normalize the seemingly supernatural. Join me, CJ Barnaby, in the liminalist space to explore less charted realms of existence and to unravel the mysteries of life experience. Each episode, I'm blessed with the opportunity to talk to regular people from across the world where they openly share their understanding and wisdom in service to others. If you're looking to upgrade your life, you've come to the right place. Be sure to like and subscribe, and I'll bring you great transforming conversations each week. My treasured viewers and listeners, if you have a life story or healing modality or unique knowledge that you'd love to share, reach out to me at supernormalized@proton.me. Let's together embrace acceptance of the supernatural and unusual, what it really is, completely normal. Join us today on Supernormalized. I'm interviewing a man by the name of Rudy Daniel, who's I would say an expert in mindfulness. What Rudy did was found that he was jaded by life, and because of all the pressure upon himself by the automatic living that he was doing, he found a new way, and his new way led him to writing a book and also creating an app. And we'll talk about that in this show. And yeah, his understanding of mindfulness is really, I would say, beautiful, the way he actually puts the words around it to make it so simple that it's easy to grasp. So I'm sure you'll get that from the show. So on with the show. Welcome to Supernormalized, Rudy Daniel. Rudy, you're an expert in mindfulness, but you came from a background that you left you wanting more, and that's how you came to it. I mean, what was your life like before mindfulness? And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, CJ. So the path to mindfulness began when I was a child. I had a lot of amazement towards the universe, and I always felt like it's a really magical place, and I loved it as a kid. And I had a lot of what I would call today mystical experiences when I was a child and throughout my adolescence. So I had this immense curiosity. I remember I was laying at bed at nights thinking about the boundaries of the universe, and I was thinking, well, if I go far enough, I would surely meet a boundary, but how would that boundary look like, and what is behind that boundary? So that was a paradox that was keeping me awake at nights when I was a kid. But then when I grew up and became an adult, sort of immersed myself in the regular mundane life that most of adults meet when they grow, and by that I mean namely work, family, friends, trying to find meaning, etc. And I kind of lost the profoundness that I once found as a child, and I became more cynical towards life, towards the universe. And I really felt in my mid-30s that life's becoming a drag, a horrible drag, and all or most of the experiences I could have done or achieved, I already done. That's not saying that I achieved everything that I wanted, but it felt like, okay, I can do it differently, but it will still be kind of the same experience. It's like you went to the theater and you saw one movie, but you can also go and watch another movie. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I've been to the theater. It's not going to be a huge surprise. So I felt that life has become this thing that I'm dragging around, and it really led me to deepening my thoughts again and thinking about serious questions I've neglected in the past, which are, who am I? What is this place? What is the universe? What is the nature of myself? What is the nature of reality? And we find throughout this journey, I came back to realize that life is again profound, full with meaning, and beautiful. And it all really depends on the point of view and not the objective, sort of objective, so-called objective view of the world. And through a lot of research within myself, I found that mindfulness is a way that could really benefit one in terms of living the good life or living a profound life.
Sounds like you actually got to a point in life where you were jaded by just regular experience. And is that because of the way that society is set up? Do you think it's like that? I mean, it seems like that there is a bit of a like a rat race, and we're on a treadmill, pretty much going nowhere if you choose to see it that way. And that can be quite profoundly depressing and demotivating. And it sounds like you found that. And then found a way out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was forced to find my way out, because sometimes well, some people call it soul, but when you are suffering from the inside, it's kind of a signal, it's kind of a sign. It's a pull towards something, and I think that it's a pull towards the idea that one have forgotten his true nature is really observed in the dreamed matrix like mundane reality that one confuses himself to be some sort of a separate entity as traveling the universe rather than being the whole thing. So I think that in a way I was forced to find the way once again. Yeah.
And what sort of thing actually sparked your journey into mindfulness and consciousness exploration? Was there any one event or was it a series of events?
It's a gradual thing that happened to me, series of events. As I mentioned, I felt no longer satisfied with the things I was doing, and it didn't matter if I was doing them professionally or family or through hobbies or anything I tried, really seemed to lack in meaning in the long run. It's like I remember that I bought a really nice car when I was 31, 32 maybe. It was a really nice car and I felt really excited about it. And after a month or so, I was like, well, it's a car. What's next?
It sounds like an existential crisis, though.
Yeah, so basically everything that I tried to do was satisfying me for a very short period of time. It's like a quick dopamine hit when you get from certain activities, but then reality came back to point zero and it said, okay, what's next? And I felt less and less motivated to go after these kind of dopamine hits because I quickly understood, well, not exactly quickly, but it took me like 20 something years, but I understood that it doesn't bring me happiness. The happiness it brings me is short-lived, and surely there must be another aspect of life which is much more fulfilling and satisfying. And I guess that propelled me out of desperation to seek for that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like when you hit that baseline, where else can you go but up, really? And so, what processes did you find for yourself over time? I mean, you did explain in the information that I've got on you here that you read a lot of books and things started to click for you. I mean, was there anything that really stood out from those books that made sense?
So I did a lot of exploration. Part of the exploration was studying different theologies and mythologies and cultures and philosophies. And I think that what was really shocking for me is the subtle way that some of the philosophies from the East were tackling the questions of reality. In a way, they're not proposing any doctrines or specific truths. And I'm speaking about Buddhism and Taoism, Zen, which is also a Buddhism that arrived in Japan and China from India. And these sort of teachings or these sort of ways of life are trying to explain reality not from the point of view of saying what it is, but mainly saying what it isn't. And it was a kind of shock for me. Because the things I had taken for granted were suddenly presented to me as absurd and truths that I thought, the everyday reality that I thought was objective suddenly crumbled under these questions. So, for example, part of the basic teachings of these Eastern philosophies is the teaching that the world, the reality we live in, is a dual reality, meaning that everything or every activity, well, let's call it thing for now, it will be easier to process. So everything has its dual counterpart. So, for example, in order for you to understand what is evil, you must understand what is good. In order for you to understand what is up, you must understand what is down. And that implies, if you go through the experiment, that everything is connected in a profound way, although yes and no seems in a negating position to one another, but they are very related in a way that looks like a sort of funny conspiracy of the universe. So, if you know the experience up without knowing the experience down, the experience of up is nullified. You don't have an experience of up. So, if you investigate the dual world, you understand very quickly that everything is connected and it works through a relationship that reality is some sort of relationship based organism, if we can put it in, mundane language. Of course, I don't mean it's really an organism, but it's something that we can talk about with words. So these basic, really basic, I'm talking about the pure basic understanding of this philosophy, like the yin and the yang, is the basic foundation of the subtlety of these understandings. And one, this has clicked in my mind, and I said, wow, I never really thought of this that way. And I began exploring that. That was the trigger for all the understandings that came afterwards. So I would say that the initial things that provoked me in this kind of teaching was the kind of presenting the paradoxes of everyday living. And although it sounds very simple, you would be surprised how many people this is, a big surprise, but when they hear something like that. So even for example, I love to do this experiment with people I meet or people I know when we engage in conversation. Sometimes they say, look up, and they look up, and I say, we're in the middle of the universe. We're in deep space on a ball. Did you ever think about it? And they're like, some of them are shocked, and some of them are like, okay, it's a nice metaphor. So I think that these subtleties in the way that you trying to point to what is reality through metaphors, through paradoxes, and through these subtle examples is the profound way to say to someone, to point to the moon and say, don't look at my finger, look at the moon.
I was
So
thinking
this
of
is what, yeah.
that. Yeah, the thing. Yeah,
Hope that answers your question.
yeah, that's right. That makes a lot of sense. So, how has your background influenced your approach to self-discovery?
What was my background before
Yeah,
I
how did
went?
it, yeah, how did that influence your approach to self-discovery, your background? So, yeah.
It's hard to say because, as I said, everything is related. So I'm trying to, figure out one part of the organism. You must also speak about the environment of the organism because they are related. So it's I can say a lot of reasons that looks logical to me, but maybe it isn't so. But I would say that I have two main faculties to my mind. That I think that are crucial for this kind of investigation. One of them is great curiosity. So I was always curious in a way that when I was a child, I was very upset that most of the world, all of the world was discovered, and I had no way to go and discover new lands. So curiosity would be one of them. And the other one would be doubt. So I never really seemed to accept truth coming out from someone, but instead I was trying to understand truth from the point of view of experience. So doubt and curiosity, I think that you might say that it's a good backdrop for this kind of exploration.
Sounds like you found your way into the reasonable mind and in doing so found ways to unwind it so it doesn't seem so reasonable and allows you to expand into a greater sense of understanding and consciousness.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on how your app that you've developed, Affirmate, integrates personal items into mindfulness practices? I mean, you've developed an app to actually help people to, recover their sense of mindfulness and basically maybe even help them manifest new ways of being. Can you tell us, about that and how that works for them?
And by the way, CJ, thank you for the opportunity. to talk about Affirmate. It's a project that I'm very passionate about, and it actually started out as a dream. About 3 years ago, I had a vivid dream, and in this dream, I saw a pathway to mindfulness, which was very vivid. In the dream, I saw the whole process, and when I woke up from the dream, it was the middle of the night, and I was pacing around my living room, thinking about how can I make it happen. So basically, Affirmate is a mindfulness app that emphasizes short and interactive practices, overlooking quantity and emphasizing quality. So when we are trying to get in the state of awareness, so being mindful, being present, it's very difficult for us, especially for our Western minds, which are very goal-oriented with the go-go-go attitude. And it's very, very difficult for us. Well, if I would ask anyone, sit for 10 minutes and, you know, think of nothing and try to clear your mind, it will be almost mission impossible for anyone without the great cultural context of where meditation came from. And so when you're trying to meditate in the ordinary way, sitting or walking or whatever, you soon find that most of the time you're busy thinking about things instead of actually meditating. So this understanding led me and my co-founder to create practices that are really short, and in the time that you are experiencing the practice, you might as well be immersed in the practice, because some of it takes 90 seconds, like the practice you mentioned, which involve a tangible item, for example. So we have launched with this first practice, which is basically a quick meditation involving a positive affirmation of your choice. And then you have this visual and auditory experience, and you involve one of your cherished items like a ring, and the affirmation that you have chosen is encoded to the ring through a technology that we have developed. And then it serves as a reminder throughout the day, because you're wearing the ring, and somewhere during the day you forgot your practice, which will surely happen. But then you take a look at the ring and say, oh, I had this intention in the morning of gratitude when I did this practice. And it becomes your item, your ring, now becomes a tangible connection, a reminder of your intention. And this is the way to begin the practice of being mindful or being aware and being present. And since then, we have been developing it, and we're just about to release a really big update with three new novel practices where people can start living a mindful life with little to no effort while having fun doing so.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. That the anchor to the practice to keep you in it.
Thank you.
And in your opinion, what are some of the common misconceptions about mindfulness that people carry? Because I mean, most people don't seem to understand it, but it's actually super simple, isn't it?
It is. I think that there's a terminology issue, and I spoke about it in a lot of podcasts, and I would like to emphasize this point. I think that usually people confuse mindfulness and meditation and kind of use it synonyms. So what is meditation? Meditation is a very old method that came from the East, originated in the East, in India. And what is meditation for the East is something completely different from what we in the West understand meditation. So what we're doing here when we are practicing meditation is basically not doing the right thing in terms of what it is intended to be. So meditation in the East is the purest state of anyone's being. It is the inherent peace and happiness of our nature, of the nature that is behind the masks of your persona or ego. And when you unveil this, you are in the state of meditation. But the technique of meditation, which involves quieting one's mind, has to be one has to be brought up in a certain way to understand this technique. It's a very difficult technique, and it's not suitable for us. So when a normal person from the States or from Europe or from Australia tries to meditate, they understand that it is unattainable, and they drop it after some time, or they use it like a gym practice. I'm doing my meditation once a week, or it's the way you can see that we interpreted yoga as well in the West. You would see that yoga is a sort of a sport activity, and you will see people with mats going around like, this is my yoga day. But yoga is a way of life. Yoga means union, and yoga and meditation are very related. So what we have missed with meditation, we can make up with mindfulness. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the backdrop of all methods of coming back to oneself, or coming back to the essence of one's being. And the way it is practiced could be vary from using the Affirmate app to cooking, walking, drinking a cup of coffee, and basically any activity that you're doing. And the secret to mindfulness is fairly simple. So let's say that you're drinking your coffee, like I'm doing at this very moment. So there are two ways. Mainly two ways to drink coffee. One of them would be just drinking it and trying to wake up or whatever, or tasting the usual taste of coffee that you're so used to. But the second way of drinking a coffee would be a mindful way. And let me try to kind of build a case for it. So to drink coffee mindfully, all you have to do is be really present in the process of drinking. So that would be holding the cup, feeling the warmth of the water, of the coffee in your hands. Like, this is the first body sensation that you feel. And you, instead of ignoring it, or instead of saying, okay, that's the usual thing I feel when I hold a cup of coffee, be present and really try to understand how it makes you feel. What is the sensation in the palm of your hands when you're holding a hot coffee? And then you meet the aroma of the coffee, you smell it, and you really let it sink in. And you try to break it down in your mind, the sensation of smelling something. Although it sounds very regular, but I assure you, it is not once you are involved in the process of trying to understand the smell. And then you're drinking the coffee and you're letting the fluids go through your body, and you're kind of following it with your mind. And all you're doing basically is, instead of just drinking the coffee and being engaged in thought or being engaged in perception or being engaged in conversation, you are putting yourself in the position of total presence, of full awareness of every motion that you're doing with the coffee. And what it does is, with time, when you're beginning to be more and more involved in your actions mindfully, in other words, you are involved in being aware of what you're doing, that opens a crack in reality, and this crack is very profound. And once you have seen that, felt that, not understood that intellectually, but actually felt that there is much more to life than it appears to be, or much more to reality than it appears to be, it begins to pull you in, and the pull is so strong that gradually with time this crack begins to open up, and your spectrum of sensitivity towards the observed or perceived reality begins to change. And this is where happiness comes in, happiness without any specific reason, without an objective experience. You don't need the car anymore to be happy, because once you have seen that everything is profound in it in its own way, and you can just enjoy drinking a cup of coffee mindfully, then life transforms itself and becomes much more profound and beautiful. So that's why I'm saying that mindfulness is the way. It's like pointing at the moon in a very easy way that anyone can just gaze and see them, and not trying to meditate and use a very ancient technique that is culturally not related to the Western mind, which would be almost unattainable. Only if you're willing to sacrifice some years and study and really practice this sort of method, it can work for you. But why do that when you can just drink your coffee and enjoy it?
Wow, that's profound. I'd sort of was listening to that and thinking this is like an extreme, not extreme is not the right word. How about a focused form of self-examination, so that you gain a greater reception of your experience?
Yeah, it's like investigating yourself, following yourself, which is very slippery. We don't acknowledge that. You know, we're walking on the street, but we're not thinking about it.
That's right.
What makes it go up?
Yeah. So it's like taking us out of the, the robotic automatic mind into a relational aspect of experience that, you could even say is even more animistic in a way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice. So I was going to ask you, what role does music play in your understanding of consciousness and mindfulness? Because, I mean, you do use music as a part of your app.
Well, indeed. I always found music to be exceptionally profound and beautiful. And I was playing various instruments since I was a teenager, mainly the guitar. And I think that music serves as a great example, because in essence, what is music? You can say a lot of things about music, but if you ask what is the meaning of music, there is no one to answer this question, not with empirical evidence. It would be something that is so different for each and every one of us. And if you think it through, you suddenly realize that music is something that you do for the sake of doing it, or listen to it for the sake of listening. And there is no real point in music. You're not striving towards the end of the composition, and you are certainly not engaged in music to achieve something, but you rather do it for the enjoyment of it. As we say, you play the piano, you play the guitar, you don't work it. So it's a great example for the art of living. Instead of living towards a goal or for a reason, instead you live for the activity of living. This is the true enjoyment of life, the art of life, and it very resembles the art of music. And the art of music can teach a lot of lessons, for example, of making mistakes. So when I play the guitar, mistakes are part of my growth as a musician. So these mistakes are opportunities for me to understand what is working, what is not, what is harmonious, what is not. And also it is the way that my mind could can get creative while I'm making these mistakes. So if you take a look on average person life, they will tell you, I'm trying to avoid as many mistakes as I can. But is this the real way of living? Because mistakes are the degenerator of growth. And when you play music, you understand that. So one way to implement this idea of flow of life through music is to say, okay, let me try to understand what drives me, what makes me happy, and then go with this strategy towards the universe, towards life. And if I make mistakes during that, well, not if, I will make mistakes while I'm doing it. These mistakes will serve me as growth. And there are a lot of different examples you can extrapolate, like the way that music vibrates, or how vibrations affect our state of being. So yeah, music is great, and I think you can learn a lot from it, and certainly it helped me and still does on my journey.
Nice. You've expressed that setting an intention is important when practicing mindfulness. Why is that so?
Well, you can travel the world. Let's say that tomorrow you are teleported to somewhere in the Amazon and you don't know the forest very well. You can wander around trying to get somewhere, or you can do it with a map. So I think it's useful to have an intention, because that way everything that you do is it is sort of a musical key. When you play a certain instrument, you play with a certain key. So let's say that the key is the intention. And then all the melodies that you structure are related to this key. So in the same way, when you have an intention, the intention, let's say, of gratitude, or the intention of friendship, or any other intention that you may come up with that resonates with you, would be the musical key that will accompany your actions. So in this way, when you have this sort of musical key, or you have this lighthouse, when different opportunities present themselves in your everyday life, they will immediately resonate or not resonate with the certain key that you have chosen. So if you are the kind of person that is truly unattached and is willing to go and explore the art of life without anything, without any map, I believe this is also relevant and this is also okay. But if you are a kind of person that prefers something over the other and say, okay, I want to explore this, this would be a great way of accompanying your experiences in life when you have this sort of direction, when you have this lighthouse. So this is the role of intention, I feel.
Yeah, right. So it actually is like a directional compass that focuses you down a path.
Exactly.
How do you envision the future of mindful living in today's fast-paced world?
I think that it's inevitable, because the fast-paced world is a stage in the evolution of human consciousness. As we speed up, as the world becomes much faster and faster, and everything becomes in a way more and more absurd, And a lot of people are questioning the validity of this kind of reality because of the fast pace we live in. So, for example, 20 years ago, it was hard to imagine that we will live in a world ruled by machines, although we had these kind of movies back then, but it was just entertainment. And now it's a possibility, a real true possibility with AI. And so people ask themselves, are we living in a movie? You know? So with time, this evolution, although it seems that we are going in the wrong direction, I feel that it's an absolutely mandatory evolutionary state of humankind, of human consciousness, to eventually be propelled to live mindfully. And as I gave the example, you asked what has pushed me towards this journey. So it was the desperation. Everything seemed absurd, everything seemed unfulfilling. And as we push this harder and harder, collectively, you know, we are developing technology and we are developing structures of society and government, and it becomes more and more rigid and more unfulfilling. And you can see the testimonial of that is that mental health is becoming the biggest pandemic in the world, and now more than ever. And I feel that with time, people will be pushed so hard to their limits, to their psyche limits, that they will, it will trigger them to look for other answers. And I feel that the time will come when we will have this swift change, and we will see reality for what it is, or at least for what it isn't. And it will be easier for us then to navigate it and to make better global decisions as a society, as a species.
Sounds like a true revealing, which is the actual definition of apocalypse.
Well, apocalypse would be necessary for a new beginning, for sure. It's like chaos is the mother of democracy, the mother of order. So it's the same dual world that I was referring to. In order to have one, you have to have the other. So maybe it will be an apocalypse, maybe it will be something. Some gradual event, but in the end of it, I feel that we would find our direction to mindful living once again.
Nice. You're also an author. You wrote Behind the Mask, Behind Beyond the Mind, Discover Who You Are, Really Are, A Guide to the Mastery of Yourself. I've just looked that up on Amazon here, and you've got 4.9 out of 5. That's the start five, like that's nearly 5 stars and 15 ratings. That's fantastic. So people are receiving it very well. What is your purpose in that book, and why did you write it?
First of all, thank you. The purpose was trying to get these thoughts that I have on paper because it is very difficult to explain these kind of ideas in regular conversation, and I felt that it was very difficult for me to keep it all inside, all the experiences I had and the ideas I had, and then came the right time for me to write this book. So this book is actually is a sort of a journal that accompanies my life from childhood to being an adult, and where I try to show the paradoxes and different points of view of reality that people overlook. And it's not a book that tries to teach something or tries to be a new doctrine, some sort of new understanding. It's not about that. It's just about If you are convinced that this is it, and you read this book, it will either shake you to the ground and you will ask questions, or you will find it as a nice, some sort of philosophy that someone has came up with. So I have no true reason for this book, and I'm not hoping that it will succeed or not. It was just getting this out of myself and get it out there. And it seemed that quite a lot of people have enjoyed it, and I got some really cool letters in my inbox from different people saying that it helped them to begin some sort of a new journey in their life, or explain many things that they have experienced. But yeah, I mean, it was just a process of getting out what I felt inside, and I had no way to communicate it in a regular conversation.
No, well, it seems like you've done extremely well because you've got such high ratings, and of the reviews I read there, while we were talking, yeah, people really love it. So that's fantastic. Congratulations to you. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're coming towards the end of the podcast, Rudy. How would people find your app and find your book? I mean, I've just found it here on Amazon, but do you have it all in all big booksellers?
I the book is on Amazon, and you can definitely find it there, Behind the Mask, Beyond the Mind, or just search for my name, Rudy Daniel. It is also available as an audiobook on
Nice.
various platforms, and I think it's also distributed in physical stores. There's a plenty of ways to find it. It would be great though, CJ, if you could leave the links in the show notes
I
so
will.
people can just and the Affirmate app you can find either by going to the website, which is affirmate.app, or looking it up in the iOS and Android store. For Android, sorry, you will see a logo, an A logo with a vibration inside. So
Nice.
that's an easy way to recognize the Affirmate app, and it will be very cool if you have feedback or anything that you would like to offer as a listener after you have tried the app. We're very, very welcoming and looking forward to speak to people who are trying the app and have something to say or have something to offer. Me and my co-founder Roy currently handling all of this. So if you want to reach out, that would be great. We look forward to hearing from you.
Excellent. I'll provide all those links in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your information, your understanding of mindfulness. It's nice and clear and certainly deep, but also I would also say simple in a way that comes to you once you allow it.
Yeah, thank you so much, CJ. And I enjoyed our conversation as well. You have very good and clear questions, and I feel that we covered some interesting topics, and hopefully we gave value to your listeners and viewers.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Thank you so much. And I'll just say goodbye to the listeners. Was really good talking to Rudy, and I appreciated his understanding of the process that he's been through, and he explains it really well. I mean, I think we all go through that in life where we get to a certain point where we're like, do I need to run this rat race? Is this really all there is? And thankfully for Rudy, he found that there was a way out, and his way out was through understanding himself and understanding different religions, and in doing so, developing a greater understanding of mindfulness that he shared with us today. So, thank you again to Rudy for coming on the show. That was really good. If you've enjoyed today's show, please reach out to Rudy and say hello to him and thank him for being on the show. Download his app and have a look at his book. It's on Amazon. I'll actually provide all the links in the bottom of the show notes. And if you've enjoyed today's show and you think this would be really good for somebody to hear, please share that to one person. That'll help me out a lot. That'd be really cool. And yeah, I always say like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, and hit the bell to make sure that you get notifications of when the next show is coming out. So thank you very much for listening, and until next episode, it's bye for now.